Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, welcome back. So I know we've been doing this series on different industries, but this topic keeps coming up in my life. So I wanted to bring it on the podcast because I feel like it requires a lot of explanation. So when this question comes up to me, I'm going to start referring people to this podcast episode because I'm not kidding you guys. This happens probably once a week for me. And the problem is that, you know, we have a lot of small businesses that I hear them saying, you know, I have this marketing assistant, but nothing's really happening. My marketing's not working, you know, nothing's happening. Maybe they're doing stuff, but it's not actually moving the needle. So, okay, let me back up a little bit. This topic comes about because this is how it usually goes. Somebody comes to me because they want to hire the agency. So I listen to their business. You know, we put together a proposal and they're like, oh my God, it's too expensive to hire the agency, which, you know, maybe for a really small business, maybe it is. Honestly, like if you really look at our retainers, it's kind of a no-brainer because, you know, for the price that you would probably get one really seasoned employee, you can have us an entire team on a monthly basis. But again, everybody's budget is different. So what I hear a lot is they'll come back to us and say, hey, you know, it's too expensive. We can't afford that. So we're just going to hire somebody in house. I've hired this girl. She's 21. She just graduated last year. She's super savvy. She's really good at social media. So we're going to hire her because, you know, we really, really need someone in house. And you know, usually I'm like, okay, I totally get it. You know, again, everybody's got a budget and they got to explore their options. So, usually in that situation takes about 3 to 6 months. Then they come back to us and they always say the same thing. Hey, I mean, it didn't work out. Like, you know, he or she was great there, but they're just young and, you know, it just doesn't work out. You know, like, you know, they need my help all the time, or I have to consistently be overseeing them, or they're not really doing anything. Like they're not proactively doing something. They're kind of sitting back and waiting for me to tell them what to do. And I mean, I'm running a business over here. I'm the CEO. I don't have time to tell them what to do. I mean, they have a degree. They should know what to do, right? Like, I mean, and these people are all flustered and worried and whatnot. So it's always the same thing though. You know, they're not proactively doing something on their own. They need my help. What they're doing isn't working or nothing's really happening. It's not driving the business forward. They're asking, you know, the boss what to do or what happens next instead of proactively bringing ideas to the table. Or sometimes they're doing stuff that is completely off brand, you know, maybe the verbiage they're using or the things that they're putting out there maybe is not in the correct voice for the company, you know. So maybe if the company is, an affluent service provider like a physician, and they're putting out content that seems very, you know, young and fresh and hip. Well, obviously that doesn't align. You know, a physician, you're trying to position them as an expert, and if you're talking super casually, you know, that doesn't speak, you know, MD to anybody. So those are usually the challenges that we hear. Not usually. Like I'm not kidding y'all. I get this about once a week. Want to hire y'all, but you're too expensive, so I'm going to hire this assistant. 6 months later, God help me, this isn't working, I'm wasting my money. And, you know, a lot of people will say no because they turn away from the agency idea, not just us, but anybody, but because they say, like, I really need someone in-house. And, you know, it always helps to have a point of contact on property, but I'm a firm believer that everything can be done remotely, you know, and COVID proved that. So 2020, I'm very blessed to say 2020 was our biggest year in business. When everything hit the fan, you know, and people had to work remotely, I think a lot of these boomers that are in charge, not hating on my boomers out there, you're probably not podcast listeners anyway, but if you are a boomer and you're listening, I'm not hating on you. I love you. But a lot of boomers had just been working for 30 and 40 years with everyone in the office that they couldn't wrap their head around the idea of everyone being remote and being still being productive. So a lot of the boomers that are hiring or they're the CEOs, you know, right now, 2020 forced them to think differently, or COVID forced them to think differently, which happened in 2020. So actually 2020 was the biggest year in business for us because a lot of these boomers finally realized, wow, everything can be done remotely. So then when they started looking at agencies like us and they're like, again, I can pay one flat fee. You're a 1099, you know, contracted business or a vendor. I don't pay you health insurance. I don't pay you taxes. I don't give you benefits. I don't pay for your software. I don't have to give you a computer. I don't have to give you a desk. I don't have to give you an office. Wow. I don't have to give you healthcare. Nothing. Like, all of a sudden, they pay one flat fee. They get an entire team that's PR, email marketing, social media, graphic design, strategic direction. All of a sudden, they started doing the freaking math and they're like, oh my God, this is a genius idea. Now, that being said, I do love it when we have clients that we have someone on the team that can be our point of contact. Sometimes it is the CEO, but sometimes it's not good for it to be the CEO because the CEO is too freaking busy, right? So sometimes it's good for us to deal with a director of marketing or a marketing manager or someone on staff that can keep us updated on, you know, some of the day-to-day stuff in-house. But honestly, like, 2020, biggest year in business. 2021, even bigger. 2022, we literally doubled. And it's just because I think that, again, people are realizing that everything can be done remotely. So why would you hire someone in-house when you could have a whole team for maybe just a little bit more, you know? So anyway, back to the problem at hand. They tell themselves that they need someone in-house. And then they tell themselves like, wow, this agency is really expensive. So they hire someone who's 21, 22 years old. Again, it's not moving the needle. It's kind of a like chicken before the egg kind of scenario because it's like they need someone who can be a leader. They don't have time to babysit. But at the same time, they can't pay, you know, like a seasoned marketing person, you know, would need at least 65 to 80K to get them on your staff. Like somebody with good experience is really not going to take a salary lower than that. So then they kind of get in this chicken before the egg situation where they're like, I don't have time to be a babysitter, but I also don't have the money to do that, you know? So, and sometimes they also, God, I see this all the time. People, you know, they take their admin or their front desk person and they're like, oh, no, she's our marketing person too. Okay, come on. Obviously, that's why it's not working. Like, people go to years of school to learn marketing, PR, advertising and stuff. And you're going to stick a front desk person who's probably wonderful at their job. But marketing is a completely different role. It's a completely different career, you know? And I think that since people do social media on their own for their personal profiles, that people think to themselves like, well, I can do social media. Please. So we see that a lot as well. Like they're trying to kind of double dip where they want someone to be the admin, but they also, you know, want them to do marketing stuff. So I don't recommend that. But again, I get it sometimes when you're a small business, you know, you don't have a lot of options. So if you're in a scenario like this, if I'm speaking to you, and it's probably a ton of y'all out there, I get it. I hear you. Here's what I would say. If you're trying to make this marketing assistant, you know, productive, because we have people on our team that are this age, First of all, you've got to develop a plan for them. Young people are freaking savvy, you're right, but that doesn't mean that they know what to do. Can they do it if someone more seasoned tells them what they need to do? Absolutely. And that's why some of the young girls on our team are incredible. You know, they are great, and I love watching the light bulb go off in their head. You know, as they learn more and they've been on the team for longer and longer, they do start to understand the strategy and they become a little more proactive and self-starting. But for the most part, when you're dealing with somebody that's young like this, you give them a plan and they are great. They are great at executing it. And if you're like a recent college grad and you're listening to this, not hating on you at all, because I was 100% where, you know, you are right now. So, and that's okay. Like, you're totally going to get there. It took me a little while to get there, but everybody has to learn this kind of stuff. So, that's my first thing. So if you are CEO, business owner, boss, and your marketing assistant, you know, isn't really being productive, the first thing you need to do is put together a plan. You need to find a professional to help you. Put together a plan. And then, you know, they can execute it. Okay. So inside of this plan, you really need to look at the full gamut of everything. You know, and I can't tell you what all your business needs, because it depends on your industry. It depends on your location. It depends on if you're B2C, B2B, if you are, a local business, if you're trying to sell online. There's so many factors into that. But I will tell you this. When you build this plan, you need to look at every aspect of how to reach people. So that's public relations, that's affiliate programs, that's influencer campaigns, that's social media. When I say social, that means organic and paid. Email marketing, email funnels, community engagement. If you're a local business, community engagement and, you know, involvement is huge. Paid advertising, direct mailers, like there's a lot of different things that you need to look at, you know, to build this full plan, you know, before you can hand it off to them. Okay. So that's the number one thing you need, is you need to do a little bit of research. You need to develop a plan. If you don't know how to build it, you need to find someone who can actually build a plan for you. And, you know, again, if you're on a budget, you know, there are plenty of teams like ours out there that will come in and for a one-time fee, build out your entire strategy and plan, explain it to you, and hand it off to you. So that's definitely worth, you know, would you go on a road trip without a map? Hell no. You don't know where you're going. You know, you need somebody, or you need MapQuest, you need Apple Maps, Google Maps, whatever, to tell you where to go. Okay, so after you build the plan, the next thing you need to do is obviously explain it to your marketing assistant, but you've got to put together some systems, okay? Again, young people starting off in their career, they do really, really well when you give them repeatable systems. You know, like for social media, you would say, okay, we're going to post 3 times per week on the following platforms at the following time of day, and this is the type of content you're going to put out. Okay, email marketing, we're going to do weekly emails, Tuesday mornings, blah, blah, blah. For, you know, community engagement, we're going to join these, you know, 6 different entrepreneur groups in the area. We're going to attend all the events. We're going to sponsor the chamber event. We're going to blah, blah, blah. Influencers, we're going to set up 1 influencer a month. You know, you've got to build like predictable systems, okay? And frequency, all that. Hand it off to them and give them clear expectations. Again, what I find with young team members right out of college is if you give them systems that they can remember, hey, every Monday we do this, every Tuesday we do this, you know, we post this many times a week, they will do it. It's just sometimes they get lost if they don't have somebody kind of guiding them into these systems, okay? And then not only do you need to give them a system and an expectation of like how many times and the frequency and or, you know, when to do it, but you need to give them, you know, an expectation on what the point is. What, you know, on social media, what are you driving towards? On email, what type of content are you putting in there? And also teach them a system of how it can be reviewed. Okay. So obviously you don't want them just like sending out stuff and posting stuff willy-nilly. Maybe you don't mind, but it really does need to be freaking reviewed if you want the messaging to be on point. So you want to, you know, send them out. You want some type of system for you to be able to approve what they're sending out. So, you know, maybe for social media, it's building the content 1 month in advance. And on the 20th of every month, you review their content and get it back to them by the 25th. They schedule it, and then the whole next month is good to go. You know, you've got to put in some systems in place to teach them how to have you check over their stuff in a manner that works for you and a good timeline that is not last minute, okay? So that's number two. You know, number one was build the plan. Number two is teach them systems, you know, frequency, you know, how, you know, what they're going to do, the frequency of it, and how to have you review it, okay? So you can check the messaging. And then number three, you got to give them benchmarks, okay? You have to give them a goal of like, you know, our goal is when you go to this chamber event to get 50 email addresses of people that come up to your table, you know, or the goal with the influencer is to have, you know, their posts be seen by X amount of people. Or our goal with influencers is to get one influencer a month that at least has 25,000 followers. It totally depends on like what you're selling here. It's hard for me to give specific examples unless I know your specific business. But you have to give them realistic benchmarks to work towards, you know, and then make sure that they are measuring this every month, you know, for social media, that they're looking at the engagement every month, that they're looking at the new followers, because that right there is going to tell you if what they're doing is working. And that, the whole measurement part, is what people skip over, which is so interesting. And they totally just go off their gut of like, do I think this is working? I don't know. Are we making more money this month? Yeah, okay, our marketing must be working. No. You need like tangible evidence, you know? Would you keep spending money on ads if you had no idea what they were bringing you? Some people do this, but no, like you've got to measure stuff because, yeah, does it force you to slow down a little bit and look at the numbers? Yes. But then you can spend your money and your time so much more effectively, okay? So that's number three, is like you have to give them, as the leader, you have to give them benchmarks or goals or specific numbers that they're working towards and making sure that they are measuring their numbers so that you, together you guys can review it, see what's working and see what's not, okay? And number four is, and I kind of touched on this a little bit, but number four is you have to check over their tasks. If you want this to be on point, then you have to make sure that the messaging that they're putting out there is appropriate in the right voice, that it's having the right call to actions, to make sure that it's actually going to move the needle. Because you can be, you know, in the right platforms, advertising in the right places. You can be in all the right places, but if you're saying the wrong things or if you're using crappy images, there's several different things that could go wrong here. If you're in the right places and saying the wrong things, you're still not going to move the needle. So that's like really, I would say, what our team's superpower is, besides consistency, is that we make sure you're in the right place saying the right message. And then the third part is consistency. That's what I see most people struggle with, is that they're not consistent. They do really well with their marketing. They're rocking and rolling. And then all of a sudden they just like disappear off the map for a month or two. You know, you have to stay consistent because stuff does not happen overnight. I repeat, for everyone in the back, stuff does not happen overnight. When we work with people, we make people commit to at least 6 months because, first of all, the first 3 months is us starting to put content. Well, the first month is full-blown research. Month two and three, after we develop the plan, in month one, we research, develop the plan. Month two, we start actually doing the tasks. So posting on social, sending out press releases, whatever the case may be. Month two and three is when we actually really start the work. And then after month three is when we really start getting a little bit of data that we can actually start looking at and tweaking our services. So it really takes 6 months for us to get into a groove, learn the client, and actually start to get enough data where we know which way to go. you know? So again, marketing is not an overnight thing. I tell people we're not a microwave. We're a crock pot. We're in this for the long haul. And people, you know, like you always say, like these get rich quick schemes overnight. If that were true, everybody would be freaking doing it, right? Same thing with marketing. It's not going to happen overnight. That's too good to be true. So that's my four, those are my four tips. If you have a marketing assistant that is, that maybe they're not struggling, they seem like they're being productive, but they're not moving the needle, or maybe they're following you around all day, asking you what to do next, or just waiting on your direction. Those are the four steps you as the leader need to take. Build a plan, teach them systems, give them benchmarks, check over their tasks, you know, making sure we're measuring everything. But I think, you know, some of the people that, you know, even with this direction, this little four-step plan I just gave you, I think some CEOs and business owners struggle for two reasons. Number one, they're busy. They're freaking busy. They're trying to do their own job. They don't have time to babysit an assistant. So, and I, what I say to that is like, well, you get what you pay for. You wanted to pay somebody, you know, $18 an hour, somebody younger, and you're going to have to babysit them. So it just depends to you on how much time, how much your time is worth to you. You know, if you pay a little bit more, you're going to get somebody who's a little more self-sufficient. So that's one problem I see with business owners. They're just freaking busy and they don't have time to oversee them. And number two, some CEOs and business owners, most of them are not marketing people. They've spent their life in other aspects, whether it's operations or things like that. They've climbed the ladder to become the CEO through other departments, and they've always just been able to lean on the marketing department. So they're not marketing people by trade. So when I tell them, hey, you need to give them benchmarks, they start scratching their head of like, well, what's a good benchmark, Whitney? And I get it, because they're not marketing people. It'd be like asking me for freaking financial advice. You know, I don't know. Like, I'm not a CPA. I'm not an accountant. Or asking me for legal advice. I don't freaking know. I'm not qualified to give you legal advice in the same way that some of these CEOs and business owners, they're not marketing people, so they don't know the benchmarks, you know, of what to tell these assistants to look for. So this is actually something new that we started this past year because it became such a need. We started offering fractional CMO services. So we come in, when you hire us, it's for a fraction of the cost of what you would pay a CEO, I mean a CMO. That's why they call it a fractional CMO. You pay a monthly retainer, a much smaller monthly retainer than you would a full-time salary. And we basically assign a fractional CMO to your account. And if you have an assistant on the team, which we suggest, we do all of this for you. We babysit your assistant for you, and we make them really freaking profitable. So first of all, we come in, we do research on your competitors, research on your business. We look at everything you've done in the past, where you're trying to go. We build out a full-blown plan for you of like, hey, you know what? If I owned your restaurant, hotel, spa, whatever it is, if I owned your hotel, here's every way that I would market it, okay? PR, social, email, community engagement, influencers, you name it, paid ads, all that good stuff. We build a plan out, give you the PDF, like it is yours to keep forever. Then we sit down with your assistant and we teach them what they're going to do on a weekly basis. You're going to do this many times, just like I said earlier. You're going to do this on this days. You're going to do this on this days. You're going to do this on that day. The beautiful thing is when we check over all their stuff for you. So literally, I mean, you get to be copied on the emails and stuff if you want to be. If you want to be involved in the conversation, you absolutely can. But again, it goes back to like CEOs are busy and they don't have time to babysit these assistants. So we come in, we teach them the systems, and we check over all their work. So before they post anything on social media, we're reviewing every single post to make sure that it's like the right, it's the right verbiage, you know, that it's the right image, that they're getting the right, that they're getting it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I love it when I see these like, people straight out of college and they're young and they do have so many talents, but they just need somebody to kind of like guide them along the way. And then all of a sudden I see the light bulb turn on and they're like, oh man, when we do this, this happens. Like, that's so gratifying for me. So selfishly, some of this fractional CMO work is fun for me because I love helping these young people. So we come in, we build the plan, we teach them the systems. We check over all their tasks to make sure they're staying in your voice, that they're moving, you know, that the content and the information is appropriate messaging. And then we give them the benchmarks and we make sure that all the reporting is headed in the right direction. We look at all your numbers every month, report that back to you. And we just make suggestions on, hey, we see that this is working on social media, or you know what, this was really not a hit. Why, instead of us working on that, why don't we, you know, do this with our email campaign or start a text campaign, that kind of thing. So we can actually make suggestions for you. So I don't know if this was helpful, but if you own a business, maybe you're a CEO, maybe you're a director of ops, and God bless, your marketing assistant is savvy, but they're not moving the needle. Would love to chat with you if you're interested in having a fractional CMO and seeing what that would look like, because I think ultimately it's going to take a lot off your plate. It's going to make that marketing assistant far more valuable to you. And then eventually, you know, as they learn and grow, like, they will become self-sufficient, which is the end game. So if you're interested in talking about fractional CMO services, feel free to find the agency. It's True Story Public Relations. We're on every social media platform. You can also go to our website. It's truestorypr.co, not .com, truestorypr.co. There's a platform there. You can send us a contact form, or we also have a text message that can pop up where you can actually text us. And that is me, myself, that will respond to you. So would love to chat with you if you think a fractional CMO might be an option for you. We love helping these young people. And hey, if you're a young person out there listening, keep it up. Don't worry. Like, this whole episode was not at all meant to throw shade at you, because I have 100% been there. So I'm here to support you, to help you, and to teach you everything I know. So have a great day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.